Please take a seat if you would. It is lovely to be able to be with you here, but I'm guessing it's probably the same up here as it is down in Speak. When I speak to people quite a lot and I ask them whether or not they've considered the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the first questions that often comes back to me is, well, what would it actually look like to follow Jesus? What would actually happen if I have an encounter with Jesus Christ? And that's me assuming that it's all actually true, that he really is who he said he was and can do the things that he said he could. And people want to know. And so that's why we've got Zacchaeus in front of us. So if you're one of the people who at any point has asked that question, then I think it's a great question to ask. What would it look like if I became a Christian? So let's have a look at what happened with Zacchaeus, and we'll try and bring a few basics out of here, okay? So I wonder, with that magic that you had a second ago, can you get that Bible back up on there so people can see it? Let me take you back to the beginning, okay? And I'll take you through the story. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, if you entered Jericho, generally you'd stay for a week or two, because Jericho was rather a posh, well-to-do city where you had your second home. Think Marbella, you know, where people park up the yachts. So if you were one of the rich bods who lived in Jerusalem, you'd have had a second home there. And generally, you wouldn't have passed through. You'd have kicked back to pick up a few rays or something like that. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. We'll come back to that in a minute. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Now, I've got to let you into a little secret here. Didn't sound very sort of riveting, that, did it? He wanted to see who Jesus was. But actually, in the original language, it says he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Now, in Luke's gospel, that's really powerful language, because we've earlier in Luke's gospel had this story of this shepherd who had 100 sheep, loses one of them, it's a bad state of affairs, he's still got the 99, but he leaves them behind and he goes to seek. He goes searching high and low with urgency, with, well, commitment to go and seek that one, the sheep that's lost. And so the thing that we know straight away from Zacchaeus is he wanted to see not Jesus, but who Jesus was. Is that you? You see, there would have been plenty of people on that day. Jericho would have been the typical Middle Eastern town where if somebody came into town, people would have come out of their houses, had a little look. You can imagine the scene. There were mums holding up their babies, waving them in front of Jesus' face. They heard he was a bit of a holy man. Bless the baby. There would have been other religious leaders who put on their Sunday best and gone out and thought, well, maybe if I get my snap taken with Jesus, that'll look great. But Zacchaeus was different. He didn't just want to see Jesus. He wasn't like one of the single mums who was sort of like eyeing him up going, I wonder whether he's tall or short, whether he's good looking. No, none of that. He was wanting to see who Jesus was. Could the rumours be true? Not that we've merely got a guru and a prophet who can give you a bit of good advice to set your life in the right direction. But could the rumours be true that the God who made the universe, the Lord of all the earth, the one who made us and loved us, had entered space-time history and come in the person of a man so that we can know him once and for all and forever? And you poor Zacchaeus here, he's desperate. He wants to get up a tree to see Jesus. We'll come back to why he had to get up the tree in a minute. But in fact, it says there in verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree. Back in them days, if you were a fella, a respectable fella, a fella who had any dignity at all, you didn't do two things. You didn't run and you didn't climb a tree. Have you ever seen David Cameron running? No. In fact, you definitely want to see guys back then, because back then they had these tunic things, they weren't trousers. So if you were an old fella and you wanted to run, you had to hoik up your dress and show off your varicose veins. And you didn't want to do that. Here was Zacchaeus. He was seeking to meet and find out who was Jesus. Now that's incredibly important. But of course you need to know the other important thing about Zacchaeus here. Zacchaeus' name means just and righteous. Boy, did their parents ever get that one wrong. For those people who knew Zacchaeus knew that he was quite the opposite. In fact, the crowd here has already stated their intention. Zacchaeus, get to see a holy man. let alone be it God's. No chance. In fact, we're told why here. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Yeah, just and righteous, He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. And you're saying, hold on, I hope there's no tax collectors here. Don't think Inland Revenue. Think Don Corleone, the Godfather, a gangster. Why was that? At this particular time, the nation of Israel were being occupied by the particularly cruel nation known as the Romans. And in order to maximize Roman power, what they would do was impose very oppressive taxation systems to rob the oppressed nation of any chance of pulling itself out from under their power. And what they did to do that was they wouldn't send around their own guys, their own Roman soldiers. Oh no, what they would do is they would find the sleazy, snidey, money-grabbing collaborators and say, you go and get the money for us off your people to keep us in power, and we'll let you skim some off the top to line your pockets and act as a bit of motivation. So let's read that again. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He wasn't just the run-of-the-mill gangster, embezzler, corrupt, shakedown artist, protection racketeer. He was a chief one. In other words, can you imagine the number of people he's had to stamp on in order to get that position? Do you imagine the number of homes that had been terrorized at the thought of a knock on the door from Zacchaeus with Brutus, the Roman soldier, behind him? Can you imagine how he had just looked at people who were in struggling financial situations and not seen somebody who had got a heart and was a real person, but had just seen a big bag with a money sign on it, a dollar sign on it, and said, I'll just take your money, I care nothing for you. And so you can see what that looks like. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man in a crowd, he could not because of the crowd. Where's Ian? Ian, get up here, mate. Come here. Right, just stand there a second. Okay. I'm not the biggest, and he's not the tallest, yeah? But if there's a crowd, and I'm behind him, is it any bother? Do I, by going in front of him, restrict his view? No. There was a crowd there. Zacchaeus wouldn't have restricted anybody's view, but they wouldn't let him in. Why wouldn't they let him in? Because they hated him. Thank you for being a sort of prop. That's good. He was despised. That's why he had to crank up his tunic and leg it up a tree. And being up that tree was a mark of what his spiritual state was and his moral state was. He was excluded. He was up a tree, away from people. He would have been excluded from the communal life. He would have had his mates who were also gangsters. But he was excluded from life. He was sort of all inside. And you know what this happens. You've seen it in the people who are precious and valuable to you. You've seen it in your own heart. When you start to treat other people badly, it does something inside of you, doesn't it? It twists you up. And here was he, twisted up, up there, excluded in that tree. But actually, what we find here and what Jesus says in verse 10 is even more telling. Because in verse 10, Jesus says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. You see, all the crowd could see was a scumbag. But Jesus, when he looks on Zacchaeus, sees somebody who is lost. Now, please don't make the mistake of thinking that when that sounds like lost, oh, he's a lost soul and, you know, he's a little bit and he needs rescuing here and there. It's not just for the here and now when Jesus talks about that. Jesus is talking about this guy being lost spiritually, eternally. Do you get that? You see, it's all very well to be able to have all your ducks in a row in this life now, maybe to have the job for life, maybe to be somebody who has got a reputation and is well looked to, maybe to have all the kids who get good school reports, maybe to be moving from the townhouse to the semi-detached to the detached house, to have everything that the world says you have, and you can still be lost, can't you? Because you're not in relationship with the God who made you and loved you. He's a stranger to you because you've made him that way. You've not put him at the centre of your life, and you've made all manner of choices in that regard. And perhaps you haven't mugged somebody. Perhaps you haven't been a shakedown artist. Perhaps you haven't as gone as whoopsie and wicked, dare I say, as Zacchaeus. But you know in your heart of hearts that when it comes to God, you are in some sense lost. In some small sense, you're up the tree. And in that way, I love what happens next. I love it. Here we go, verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he gladly came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, I don't know whether you saw, I mean, I'm sure you did see the royal wedding. Did you see the ones who've been waiting since 5 a.m.? To see sort of the royals come in their procession back from the church, and they were up somewhere near Buckingham Palace, and then them low down police officers start a procession way down the mall of the people who arrived there really late, and they start letting them right up to the front so they can stand round the big fountain underneath the balcony. Can you imagine the bitterness and the sort of spitting that was coming from those girls? Those guys have been like queuing by the barriers since 5 in the morning, or even 5 in the morning the previous day. And here's Zacchaeus, up a tree, one of the last ones to get there. He's despised by everybody. And Jesus goes through the crowd. He walks past the mum saying, please bless this baby. He walks past the religious person with the nice looking clothes who's all respectable. And he's like, zoom, straight in, up to the sycamore fig tree. Up to that thing, grabs a hold of a fig and goes, Zacchaeus, get down. I'm coming to your house for tea. And I wonder which of those two parts of that phrase was most effective at making Zacchaeus nearly fall straight out. Zacchaeus, how does he know my name? He knows my name. What else does he know about me? The Bible tells us that the God of the universe, and I'll repeat what I've already said, who made you and loved you, knows you better than you know yourself. He doesn't just know your name. He knows your address, he knows your email address, he knows your password, and he knows the things about you that you're so glad other people don't. That if people in this room knew about it, you would be out of that door. You see, the fact is that sometimes we can fool other people, and sometimes we can even fool ourselves, but you cannot fool God. The God of the Bible knows us. He knows the intentions of our heart. He knows the good that we've done. And he knows the things that are ugly. He knows the things that make us undeserving of his grace. But Zacchaeus was up that tree and Jesus said, Zacchaeus, he knows my name. And then what else did Jesus say? Jesus said, well, we can see it there in verse 5. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Now, we're not a very hospitable nation. At the very best, if somebody comes knocking on your door, you might be lucky. They might be lucky if you give them a piece of cake and a cup of tea. But back in those days, hospitality was everything. Jesus effectively is saying, listen, Zacchaeus, I don't just want to come round for tea and cake. I don't just want to be a guest on a Sunday. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to accept me into your life. And guess what, Zacchaeus? I'm going to accept you into my life. It was a request for a relationship. Notice, Zacchaeus couldn't have got Jesus to do. What right had Zacchaeus got? He's the criminal up the tree. But Jesus, God in the flesh, zooms in on him and says, I know you, lad. But though I know the worst about you, I want to have a relationship with you. And what do everybody else do? Everybody else is spitting feathers. Can you see it there in verse 7? All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. And there's a sense in which they're right, aren't they? If God is a holy God, which he is, if God is pure, and he is, if God hates evil, and he does, how is it that God in a skin, the Lord Jesus, can have anything to do with Zacchaeus? That's a big question, that is. I suppose that question doesn't just go to Zacchaeus, it goes to you and me too. If God is holy, which he is, if he hates evil, which he does, how is it that he can have a relationship with the likes of you and me? It's a good question, that, isn't it? See, by rights, God should have nothing to do with us. Because though we may not have been as bad as Zacchaeus, we are not the people we could be, we're not the people we should be, and we're not the people we ought to be. And we all know that deep down. That's why so often we're so insecure. Because we know there are things we've done, things we've said, that we should never have done, that are ugly and we're ashamed of. How is it Jesus can say, I'm going to have a relationship with you, though you be a sinner? And if you've listened to nothing else, please don't miss this bit. The answer comes in verse 5 and verse 9. Let me read them to you. Jesus says this, he said in verse 5, I must stay at your house today. But then in verse 9, Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. Hold on, I thought salvation, being rescued, having your obstacles overcome, the things that get in the way of you coming near to God, being dealt with, I thought that was a concept. Being saved, being rescued, and yet we're told here that salvation, rescue, has come to tea at Zacchaeus' house. What is salvation? Salvation is not a thing, salvation is a person, and he's called Jesus Christ. For you to be a Christian, oh, and I do hope you want to be, but for you to be a Christian, you need to understand grace. Every other religion in the world says this is the way to salvation, or this is the way to God. There you go on that way, go that way, do this, read this book, say this prayer, go to this place, do these things. But the Christian message is different. The Christian message doesn't say, there's the way to salvation. The Christian message is about Jesus who came and said, I am salvation. I am a rescuer for you. The Christian message isn't, there's the way for God, go on, by your own efforts get there. The Christian message is not you go and get yourself to God, but God has come for you. And when Jesus would move to Jerusalem, he would be the God who came to die the death that we should die, having lived the life that we should have lived but haven't. He would go to a cross to pay for our wrong, so that even someone as bad as Zacchaeus or you and me can know forgiveness and enter into a relationship with the true and living God. And I love the order here. It really just melts my heart. Jesus didn't come to Zacchaeus and say, hey, Zac, I know the story. I know what you like. And if you promise me you will change, I might think about coming to your house for tea. Isn't the order the other way round? Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I know what you're like, but I want a relationship with you now. And what happens to Zacchaeus afterwards? Is he the same man? No, look at this, I love this. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Did Jesus say any of that to him? Did Jesus say, right, if you want to be a Christian, you've got to give a stash of your dough away? No, Zacchaeus stood up. I love it. It's like my kids, you know, sometimes my little kids, I've got five daughters. Pray for me. I've got five beautiful daughters. I love them dearly. And every now and again, one of them will do a work of art. It will be a slap of paint here and there. In fact, Bethany, my oldest daughter's here. She's done many. I've kept them packed away. And they'll come up to Dad and go, look, Daddy. And I'll look at it. Lovely. What is it? Oh, Daddy, it's a picture of you. Oh, how could I have missed that? Sorry, Bethany. And they came running up to me purely because they love their daddy and go, look, Daddy, I love you. Did you hear what Zacchaeus said? Look, Lord, here and now, half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Because something happened between the branch of the sycamore fig tree and the front door of Zacchaeus' house. He knew now that all the things that he had been living for before, his money that made him treat other people so badly, his, well, whatever it was he was building his life on, those things that had been ruling him and he would live for have now been relegated because he had met the one he had always been supposed to have been living for, the Lord Jesus. And having met the Lord Jesus, he says, all those things, they're not as important anymore. Loving you is. I can loosen my grip on the things of this world because you've tightened your grip on me, Lord Jesus. In fact, back in those days, you know, if you'd done something wrong or cheated somebody, the worst, if you like, crime in the Old Testament that required some sort of giving back of money was effectively cattle rustling. If you robbed people's oxen, you'd have to pay back four times or so the amount. And Zacchaeus stands up in public and effectively says, now I've met you, Lord Jesus, I am free to admit that I'm a cattle rustler, or worse. Now that's really interesting, isn't it? Because, well, put it this way, excuse me, I don't want to be crude or anything, but I need to give you a strong example of what's going on here. Let's say you're in public, and in one of those really awkward moments, and you're so hoping other people aren't around, the chili that you had the night before starts to do a square dance in your stomach. And no matter how hard you try, you pass wind. And you're in a large group of people, and everybody knows that somebody has passed wind. Do you confess to it? Or do you keep quiet? You'd be an idiot to confess. Because you know that if you confess anything, you're going to get punished for it. You're going to get in trouble for it. You're going to get judged for it. You're going to get ripped to shreds for it. So you pass it off as the person next to you. But that goes the same as well in a relationship at home. Perhaps if you're married and you don't quite live up to what it means to be the perfect spouse, it's very hard to confess it, isn't it? Because if you confess that you have messed up and not quite done it right, what do you get back? Well, you know, you get down the banks, you get punished, don't you? In fact, if you're up before a judge and you know you are guilty of the crime, do you confess to a judge? Of course you don't. Because if you confess to a judge, you know you're going to have to pay the price for what you've done wrong. You know that, don't you? And here is a criminal standing up in front of God himself, able to say, I have committed a crime, and do it with a smile on his face. Not because he's proud of committing a crime, but because he knows he won't be judged for it. Because the one who has paid the price for it, his wrong, is sitting in the room with him. Can I ask you, have you got that level of freedom that says I can admit that I'm not the person I could be, should be, or ought to be? I have treated people as things to be used. And although I'm not as bad as I might be, I've treated God as somebody to be used as well. I've not treated him as the Lord of the universe that he is. I have, as the Bible described it, sinned. I am a law breaker. Can you do that? The only way you can is if you have met Jesus, who says, I know the worst about you, but I love you anyway, and will pay for your sin so that you can go free and be restored to me for all eternity. In short, put it like this, if you want an image, here you go. Zacchaeus was up a tree. Jesus went to him and says, you're up a tree and you are lost. You're not just lost in time, you're lost for eternity. You're away from the God who made you and loved you. But I'm going to invite you down out of that tree into a rich relationship with the God you were made for. And the reason I can do that is because in a few short weeks, I'm going to go up a tree. I'm going to go up on a cross. and be lost and suffer the consequences of your sin so that you can be found forever? Let me ask you this question as I close. Have you come down out of the tree? Perhaps you've got loads of questions. You need to know a little bit more about who Jesus is. Is it too good to be true? Jesus, God with us, come to save us? But make no mistake, Jesus invites you out of the tree to know a relationship with him, have him at the centre of your life, be the Lord of your life, remodel you for now and eternity, be the one who forgives you of your sins, and he has authority to do that because he is the God who has paid for you to go free. In fact, the song that we're about to sing is all about that. It's called "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found." Do you reckon that was the reality in Zacchaeus' life that day? I'll tell you it was. The reality that from when he climbed out that branch and went down to meet with Jesus, and Jesus went from being somebody he was finding about to being his Lord, and Zacchaeus' life was never the same again. I'm going to pray now. I'll pray after we sing. We'll sing the song that basically says that in just a few more words. That we can put our hope in Jesus, the one who calls us down out the tree, and know God as our Lord for now and eternity. And perhaps you've never thought about doing that before, and if that is you, can I tell you, you're particularly welcome to look at the words, think it through, and if you sense that this could be true, which it is, then perhaps now is the time to say, just as you were Zacchaeus' Lord, would you be my Lord as well? Would you forgive me of my sins? And would you invite me into relationship with you, Lord Jesus?